When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
The reality we live in can be a very strange place. Most of the time, fact being stranger than fiction. How will we ever start to understand this reality we live in unless we question everything? Join me and a guest as we unravel the mysteries of this reality, one topic at a time. This is Inquiries of Our Reality. Shane Jones.
Reality isn't what it seems. I'm Dr. D sticking aboard a craft with a tractor beam. Is life a simulation or an astral dream? Aliens travel through black holes in different galaxies. Life is a bizarre odyssey. With a mic talking about philosophy. Well, Bigfoot is stalking campers. As a Wendigo walks through the woods of sharpened antlers. Using a Ouija board to talk to the dead like a necromancer. There's so many questions and not enough answers. So if you're interested in mysteries and abnormalities, tune in and listen to Inquiries of Our Reality. So if you're interested in mysteries and abnormalities, tune in and listen to Inquiries of Our Reality.
What is up, inquirers, and welcome to the expanse of deep open-minded conversation. I'm the one they call Shane, and on today's episode, we have a listener who wanted to come on and share some of his bizarre experiences that happened on his rural property, extending from Sasquatch to some possible UFO stuff, but fascinating all the same. This is the first podcast he's ever been on, so I just want to give him another big shout out for deciding to share his experiences first on Inquiries of Our Reality. But before we get into this fascinating episode today, I have a pretty big, exciting piece of news and announcement. For anybody that may have heard it a couple episodes back, talking about the new show that will be joining the Open Minds Media family. I want to give a big shout out to Riley, who has been a longtime listener to the show. He's been listening, honestly, since the very beginning, and he finally got his podcast up and running. It is called Midwest Mythos. I am the guest on the very first episode. Oren will be the guest on the second episode, but he will be a member of the Open Minds Media family. So don't forget to go and give him a follow, give him some love, give him some shares. Go and listen to his first episode. Let him know what you think. If you're somebody who is a regular guest on shows, definitely hit him up and help him out a little bit, get him rolling and everything. And I'm excited to see where it goes. So Riley, just a big shout out to you. Happy to see your show going, and welcome to the family, brother. And another piece of news and announcement, guys, don't forget to come and visit me at Small Town Monster Fest. That'll be happening June 29th in downtown Canton, Ohio at the Doubletree by Hilton. Kids 12 and under are free. Everybody else, you guys will have to make sure you scoop a ticket. There's going to be the full OMM team there, meaning that I'm going to be there, Oren's going to be there, Riley will actually be helping me vent at the table. We'll also have Jenny. We'll have Gabby. We'll have the kids. It's going to be a lot of fun. Really looking forward to it. Hoping to see a lot of you guys out there. And if anybody is planning on coming out there, don't forget to shoot me a message. Let me know that you're coming, because I'd love to be able to know you by name and by face, of course, before I even see you out there. And hopefully afterwards, we'll have somewhat of an after party. So maybe we can hang out with you guys then if we're not able to hang out during the convention, because conventions, of course, get busy. But I'm excited to see you guys there all the same. And moving into the front of house stuff, if you guys enjoyed the show and you guys think I've earned it, don't forget to leave that 5-star review for the show on iTunes and on Spotify. Greatly appreciate it. Pushes the show up in the algorithms, makes it so the show can continue to keep growing and expanding. And the only way it's going to happen is with your guys' help. So whatever you guys do, greatly appreciate it. If you think I deserve that 5-star review, please don't hesitate to leave it. And if you leave a 5-star review on iTunes or leave some type of typed out review, then I will read it on the show, of course, and give you a big shout out. And don't forget to go and follow Increase Our Reality and Open Minds Media on Instagram and on Facebook. And while you're at it, don't forget to go and check out Open Minds Media on Discord for the awesome community that is slowly expanding every day with all you guys joining, and Riley, Oren, and all the Open Minds Media team, of course. And for video content, you guys can always go and check out the shows on the Open Minds Media YouTube and on Discord. Something that I recently started doing is putting up wavelength versions of the episodes onto YouTube. So if you're somebody that prefers YouTube over the podcatchers, you guys can now go and listen to Inquiries of Our Reality and Bizarre Encounters over in the Open Minds Media YouTube. And speaking of other shows, don't forget to go and check out Bizarre Encounters, my other show that I do with Oren, my awesome co-host, where we deep dive into a lot of fascinating stuff. We've been deep diving into a lot of the bizarre, obscure stuff that not a lot of shows cover recently. It's been a lot of fun looking up local folklore, kind of going all over the world. So if you guys are interested in stuff like that, don't forget to go and check that show out. And while you're checking that show out, Bizarre Inquiries is back up and running. We've dropped a couple new episodes of that already. I have been putting those onto the normal feed so you guys can check them out, and then those will be end up going back to the Patreon. But as of right now, you guys can go and check out Bizarre Encounters on YouTube and on the normal feed. And if you guys have any questions that you guys would like to submit, I would definitely appreciate it so that we can talk about them on future episodes of the show. And if anybody's had an encounter they'd like to report, you guys can report those to ommencounterreports@outlook.com, or you guys can go to the link tree, fill the submission form, and there is a specific submission form for that, and the other one is just to contact me in general. But I don't care how big, I don't care how small your experience is, whether it's UFO, cryptid, alien-related, anything like that, or paranormal, of course, report those encounters. And if I get enough of them, I'd like to do an episode where Oren and I deep dive into some of your guys' personal experiences. So you guys can either type them out, or you guys can record yourself on your phone and you guys can send that to me by email. If you're also somebody that just wants somebody to talk about your experiences with, but you don't want to put out anywhere, that's totally okay too. We're always here for that too. We'll just be a listening ear and not look at you like you're crazy, of course. And depending on how far you are, you may even be able to come out and investigate it. But none of that will happen unless you report those encounters to ommencounterreports@outlook.com. And if you guys want to support the show, you guys can do so through the Open Minds Media Patreon. I recently updated those tiers a couple weeks ago again, because I had to switch over from Riverside to Zoom again. So the benefits have changed. So make sure you guys go and check those out. Even if you're already an existing Patreon member, just to go and double check back through the benefits that I offer over there. And there is also a 7-day free trial for the $3 tier and the $5 tier. So always worth going and checking out to see if you guys are interested in the Patreon. And the other way you guys can support the show is through the Open Minds Media merch store. If you guys use Cryptid10, you guys can get 10% off your orders. Still running that promotion, of course. And if you guys join the Patreon, there is specific discount codes depending on which tier you pick. So even if you are an existing Patreon member, don't forget to use those, because those always are there and available, of course. And if anybody is interested in podcast or audiobook production services, you guys can shoot me a message through Open Minds Media. Whether you're somebody that just started a podcast, or you're somebody that's been doing it for a while and you want to make your job a little bit easier, I'm here to be able to help out with that. If you're an author and you want to have an audiobook produced, something new that I'm trying to do, I'm always here to try to discuss that and figure that out, because I would absolutely love to be able to do some audiobooks for some of you guys and be able to help out more with some of the finances around the house, and hopefully, again, get to the point where I could podcast full time, because that would be absolutely fantastic. And of course, everybody wants to live their dream, and my dream just happens to be producing awesome podcasts for you guys. And of course, got to give some shout outs to all of the sponsors for the show in the community. So guys, don't forget to go and check out I Know Squatch for all of your squatchy gear needs. And you guys can also check out Joe over there at Cryptoteology for all of your wearable cryptid favorites. And you guys can check out Snarly Yow for a fantastic smoky cedar with a hint of mint, beard oil, beard balm, body wash, and beard shampoo. And he also throws on a bunch of fantastic events near the West Virginia area, one of which is the Cryptid Halloween event that Orn and I will be speaking at and emceeing this year. But he puts on a plethora of other events throughout the year. So if you guys are near the West Virginia area, don't forget to go and check those out. Dave is one of the best people that I could possibly imagine in the community, super duper friendly. So he gravitates an awesome group of people around him. And all of his events are family friendly, so you guys can bring the kids to them, go and hang out, have a good day out there in West Virginia. So make sure you guys check the calendar, see if there's anything going on near you. And moving into the affiliate links, don't forget to go and check out the newest sponsor of the show, Orgonite, for some of his fantastic pieces that are essentially intended to take in negative energy and put out positive energy. There's a lot more information for that on the page, so make sure you guys go and check that out. And if you guys want to scoop one of his fantastic pieces, you guys can use code OMM at checkout for 10% off. And to all of my paranormal investigators out there, if you guys haven't already checked out the Chattergeist, highly recommend that you do. It's my personal favorite paranormal investigating device. I use it every single time that I go out. Barry over there on Dimension Devices is the one who programmed and developed it. So if you guys have any questions about it whatsoever, as far as technical questions go, you guys can hit up Barry over there on Instagram. He is the one that runs the page, of course. And he's always trying to make new patches, new extensions, a bunch of new stuff for this thing. So you don't have to worry about it going out of date, because he isn't planning on keeping it around for as long as possible and just adding new modifications to it. And if you guys decide you guys want to scoop one for yourself, if you guys use the affiliate link, you will receive 10% off at checkout. And don't be discouraged that it's in pounds. The company is based in the UK, but everything does convert over through PayPal. So don't think that you can't purchase one just because you don't live in the UK. And every single thing that I mention is all available in the link tree, which is available down in the show description. And with that, let's get into the show. Please welcome to the show, Joe Ramos, a.k.a. Shapeshifter on Instagram and on Twitter. How's it going today, man?
Oh, I'm doing good. How are you doing, Shane?
Not too bad, man. Same shit, different day, but at the same time, can't complain. And also, a side message, I'm pretty sure they changed Twitter completely to X now, so X instead of Twitter.
yeah, X.com, that's right. It's funny, though, because when you go to it, it still says Twitter.com across the top. At least I've noticed that it has. So,
dude, I was listening to No Agenda, and they mentioned that, I don't know, maybe it still pops up, but there was supposed to be some whole thing that they like updated that recently. So now it's supposed to be X on the web browser. I just heard that on Monday on No Agenda podcast. So I'm not sure if it's fully transitioned over or not, but it's in the process. So it won't be Twitter anymore, formerly known as Twitter. It'll just be X because Elon Musk is obsessed with X's for some reason.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's great to be here. This is my first podcast appearance, so bear with me. I'll do my best.
Well, I appreciate you coming to my show for your first podcast, man. And I know that you said that you kind of found my show through a chain of through other shows, through Spotify and all that kind of stuff. So definitely, man, it's an honor that you're willing to come on my show first and share some of your experiences.
Yeah, I love the way you talk to people, man. I like, one of the things that you do that I haven't really heard too many other people do is you really get in there and you just like, when an idea pops in your head about something or theory, you just say it. You're just like, well, what about this? And what about this? And it's like, oh yeah, that's kind of fun. Like, I don't really hear too many other people doing that. They, you know, like they're not getting imaginative and original and like, and just thinking on the spot about what could be going on. And you kind of analyze stuff like in the moment, which is pretty dope. So.
Well, I appreciate that, man. It's one of those things that it's like, that's how I do the show. But sometimes I feel like it discourages certain guests when I have them on, when I start hitting them with some big concepts. Because sometimes like I'll start hitting some people with some stuff and they'll be like, yeah, and they won't really know how to respond. But it's like, hey, man, that's what I like doing. I like creating theories. So I'm glad people at least like listening to it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. I'm curious to see what you think. So.
Oh, yeah, and I'm definitely going to pull apart your experiences as much as I can, connect it with as much previous knowledge as I have. But before we get into your experiences, of course, I know that you recently said you started up a new merch store and stuff. So why don't you let people know a little bit about yourself and a little bit about your merch store and kind of give all your shout-outs that you want to give before we hop into your experiences.
Okay, sure. So my name is Joe Ramos, a.k.a. Shapeshifter on X.com and on Instagram. And that's S-H-A-P-E, ship, and it's spelled, let me just spell the whole thing. It's S-H-A-P-E, S-H-I-P-H-T-R, because the regular way to spell shapeshifter was taken, and I just really like the name. So I spelled it a little funny. I'll give you the spelling before we get out of here, so it's not confusing for people. But I'm just a guy who's been in audio and video for a long time. I moved my family out to the country in 2020, like right when COVID was starting. And we just kind of like basically got out of the city like right in the nick of time, and we're just hiding out up here, like pretty isolated from everybody. And I've got a bunch of pets and animals and stuff like that. We moved on to some acreage. We're kind of isolated from even the nearest town. We're 15 minutes from civilization, you know.
Good thing you got property before everything went up like crazy, because like you got it right before COVID, man, like property got really expensive real quick. And that's a whole other side conspiracy, but
yep, absolutely. We were really, really lucky. I'm very grateful that we got into where we are. But yeah, so, you know, my whole life, though, I've been doing art. I've been doing, you know, all kinds of stuff related to just monsters and things like that. I'm a big comic book fan. You know, I got a huge collection of that kind of stuff. Love movies, all those kinds of things. And so I love to do design work and stuff. I used to do some merch in the past, and I just recently decided that I was going to try and get back into that. So I started up a new website called bigape.shop, and we got cryptid, a lot of Bigfoot stuff on there right now. We've got a few other cryptids to check out as well. We've got a little bit of conspiracy stuff. We got some really fun stickers that I designed. I'm doing all the designs and building the site myself. So it's just real kind of grassroots, small, kind of an effort, but I think it's gonna be really cool. Give it a little time.
Hey, that's one of the best things, though, is when you don't have the big corporations involved in stuff and can actually do some personalized, like, niche designs. I mean, I'd always rather support the local designers rather than the people that are like the big box store stuff anyways. So, I mean, I'm all for it, man.
Yeah, awesome.
And just out of curiosity, because I've had a few different artists on the show, and I always like to kind of break it down a little bit. As far as like your art style goes, like if people want to check out your merch store, any of the stuff you do, how would you kind of describe your art style for the audio listeners?
Well, so I do illustrate a lot. Just, you know, the stuff that I draw by hand is just really strange. I'm kind of more of a graphic designer. You know, I use all kinds of different software to create designs. Some of them are just text. Some of them are full-on illustrations. Some of them have more of a retro vibe to them. So think like old monster comics and that kind of stuff. And then I kind of play around a little bit and try to do some more modern kind of looking stuff that's a little more like, I don't want to say superhero-esque, but more cartoony. But yeah, that's kind of the vibe.
Like the new age comic, but, like bright kind of color style. Is that what you're talking about? I like the old school, like dotted comic style.
Yeah. Yeah. But then I also get into stuff like, I like old artists like Ed Roth, you know, like Rat Fink and that kind of stuff. And so sometimes I do that. And then if you follow me on, any of the socials, or go check out my stuff on there, I like to play with all kinds of new tools as well. So, on my Shapeshifter account, it's almost exclusively just stuff I'm doing with AI tools, which I know a lot of people don't like, but I think they're awesome and fascinating. And so I have a lot of fun just posting images all the time that you come up with. Cause it's, you know, people think that it's just push a button, type a word, and out pops something incredible, but that's really not the case. Like, you really have to finagle the heck out of those things and really work with them for sometimes hours just to get something that, if you have any kind of taste at all, doesn't look like total shit.
Or just make some like ridiculous shit. Like, I think somebody that I talked to recently was trying to do like Sasquatch versus like aliens or something like that. And they ended up getting this like really ridiculous picture of like a giant monkey fighting a bunch of like aliens from like the movie Alien, like the xenomorphs, like,
yeah,
and they're absolutely all like deformed and funky shaped and shit. Like, what happens and when AI goes bad.
Well, yeah. One thing that it's funny because somebody was saying to me the other day, cause they're like, you love this Bigfoot stuff. Why don't you just use these AI things that you like and make Bigfoot images? And I'm like, okay, if I ever do, so I do make Sasquatch images and stuff like that, on my Instagram and Twitter. But, one thing you'll notice is that they're all artistic looking. They're all illustrative style. None of them are supposed to look realistic whatsoever, because the last thing I will ever do is use any of those programs to create some kind of photorealistic creature that looks like it might be like a Polaroid or a photograph or something like that. And I decided that was just going to be the thing, because for one thing, just based on the experiences I've had up here and how people have taken them when I've explained what's gone on up here and the looks I've gotten, you know, I don't want people to think that I'm trying to like pull the wool over anybody's eyes or anything like that. So you can go and follow me. You'll see it's all, you know, very obviously, you know, artistic renderings, not supposed to be realistic or any photos or anything like that, you know.
Well, I'm glad you don't make those ones, because I see enough of those on the pages that people just make and try to pass them off as real Sasquatch images. And it's like, you know, if you're trying to create them for like designs, whatever, it's one thing. But if you're trying to put them out here pretending like they're real photos, one, you're messing up the research. Two, you're also kind of making the research look bad, because most people are going to say, oh, any Sasquatch picture is an AI generated image. And unfortunately, yep, it seems like a lot of the pages are like that at this point. So thanks to that, you can't really believe like a photo of Sasquatch at this point. Like, I don't know what piece of evidence you would need, but it's like you can create anything with AI now. So it's like, what would be the solid evidence besides like an actual body in front of you that people would actually believe now?
Yeah, no, I 100% agree with you. And I don't want to like muddy the waters, so you'll never catch me doing that. Like I said, anything I do is going to be very obviously an artistic rendering or an illustration or a drawing or have a painterly style. It's not ever going to be a photo. So.
Good way of doing it, because even if you don't intend for that, man, somebody does. I mean, somebody else is going to take it and try to pass it on a page. So right. Just keep it out of circulation altogether.
Yeah, I agree 100%. So yeah, that's where you can find me. You know, I don't really share my personal stuff just because it's just me and my kids and stuff like that. So like my personal accounts, I just kind of keep to myself. But that's where you can find me online, just to check out the weird stuff that I'm into. So
hold that thought. We'll be right back.
Stop in and save big money on your next outdoor lumber project now at Menards. Menards has the largest selection of AC2 pressure-treated lumber and decking, and it's easy to load in our outdoor lumber yard. Plus, you can get free estimates fast with our deck design program in-store or on Menards.com. Check out our weekly flyer for more great deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And we are back, so let's hop right in. So I guess that is probably a pretty good leeway in, considering we were just talking about Sasquatch, to dive into some of your experiences. I know that you'd shared one with me at least, but I know you said you have a plethora of different experiences that may or may not be combined. We'll kind of have to tear it apart and decide as we're going through the show and stuff. But I guess kind of wherever you want to start, man, I'll let you kind of start telling your experiences, and I'll pop in with ideas, theories, and whatever else.
Okay, well, I'll start with the one that was the first strange experience that we had up here, which is the one I told you earlier, but I'll say it again for the listeners. And so what happened was, so like I said, me and my family moved up here right at the beginning of COVID. It was like June 2020. So it was right when lockdowns were starting and everybody was kind of losing their minds and bleaching their groceries and all that kind of stuff. So,
just a quick side note, by the way, you don't have to say exactly what county or anything you're in, but just because you're going to be sharing like some Sasquatch experiences, people are always curious the state. So if you don't mind, sure, at least just throwing the state out there just so people kind of have an idea where you're from.
Oh yeah. Yeah. No problem. We're in central Wisconsin. So, you know, we're actually like north of Wisconsin Dells. And it's funny because like, I don't mind sharing that at all. Wisconsin Dells is one of the largest tourist areas. It is the largest tourist area in Wisconsin. We get millions of visitors every year. We're the water park capital of the world, apparently. So, it's a weird flex, but yeah, we actually live way outside of that, but
yeah, water parks and Sasquatch, because I know there's a lot of Sasquatch researchers in Wisconsin. Finding Jay, Jay from Finding Jay, of course, he's from Wisconsin. He's from the Kettle area. He researches the Kettle. And then you got Hans from I Know Squatch. He's researching northern Wisconsin. So, I mean, there's a good handful of, you know, seasoned Sasquatch researchers that are all in the Wisconsin area. So, I mean, you guys must have something going on there.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So what happened basically is... one night I'm out with my dog. We're just in the backyard, up on the side porch actually. And we're just enjoying the evening. You know, it's like about 11 o'clock at night. And where I'm at, there's not a lot of street lights. We have one light pole that's right by the street and our house is kind of close to the road. And, you know, you go, you know, 50 to 50 feet away from that light pole and it's pitch black in every direction. And if you go behind, if you go behind my house, we've got a big chunk of woods before it attaches to the neighbor's property behind there. And, one night I'm standing out there with my dog Harold and, he all of a sudden his ears perk up and he's looking around and I'm like, what's going on, dude? And all of a sudden he just takes off back towards the garden area behind my house, what's now the garden area. And, he runs off and then I lose sight of him into the dark and I'm just calling him. And all of a sudden I hear this super loud, like scream that sounded like a woman screaming. It was just, you know, just out of nowhere, just blood curdling. Like all the hair on my arms just stood up and I was like, oh my God, what the hell was that? And the first thing that popped into my head was that he just ran straight into like a bobcat or maybe even like a mountain lion. I don't think we actually have mountain lions around here, but that was like the first thing that popped into my head.
I mean, you honestly never know with North America, man, because I mean, there's no cougars in Michigan, but I saw a cougar once in Michigan near the Detroit area, believe it or not. So I mean, like, really? I think these things are somewhat scattered all over the place. And if you look up news reports from Northville, there was a cougar that was being sighted, but they never found a body, never figured out where it went. But confirmation that I was completely crazy and I saw what I saw at least.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so that was the first thing that popped in my head is maybe it was like a big cat of some kind. And he came running back and he ran back up onto the porch. And I'm just like, what's going on? Like, maybe we should go in the house. And all of a sudden from the other direction, just to kind of paint the picture, I'm standing on the side of my house. To my right is the front of my property. And to the left is the back towards the garden where that scream just came from. Now from the right, there's the road and the light pole. And that's my neighbor's property just on the other side of the road. And so we're talking about probably 50 feet to the edge of his property. And all of a sudden out of nowhere, I just hear this whoop. I'm trying to do a good impression, but it's really hard to like,
it was a good impression. Whoop,
you know, like it's really hard to like do it right because it started really low and it went real high and it was just a whoop like that. And it was very loud. And it happened a couple of times and I heard another one like responding, but it was way further out. It was probably, I don't know. I have no idea how far out it was, but it was kind of coming from like kitty corner, would have been like northwest of my house, off in the distance. So I don't know exactly how many, or if it was two responding or if it was just one, but there was definitely at least two. And I didn't know what that was. I had no idea. I thought that it was a Bigfoot or a Sasquatch or something like that. Didn't really like pop into my head. I just didn't know what it was. And so I was like, all right, Harold, let's go in the house. And as we turned around to kind of go back inside, I am facing my backyard as we're turning around and there's all the tree line. And if you look at like my tree line, the woods right there, you can see the top of my trees, which aren't actually that, they're not that old. So they're actually not that tall, but then you can see behind that my neighbor's trees, which are way back, but they're much, much taller. And behind that, all of a sudden out of nowhere, a green light just like, it was almost like it just turned on in the sky. And it was, you know, it wasn't like huge. It just kind of looked, it was like a green point of light that was really bright. And it just turned on and then it just kind of cascaded downwards and to the right.
Did you see like a physical orb or anything, or was it just literally just light showing up from behind the trees?
Well, it was like a point of light. So it was far back enough that it, like, I don't know if it was orb shaped.
But you couldn't see like where it was coming from exactly. You just saw kind of where the point would be, but not the object it was coming from.
Yeah. So like if you've ever seen, I don't know, I guess it kind of looked like a green LED. I'm trying to think of how to describe it, but it was like a green LED just kind of turned on. It's like, it was that kind of thing where you could see a little bit of like trails coming off of it in any direction. Like it was kind of, maybe it's just because I have a slight stigmatism, but you know, but then it just kind of slowly cascaded down and then behind the trees, and you could see the green light from behind the trees, like kind of shining through, and then it was gone. And at that point, I just grabbed my dog. I was like, let's go. We're going inside. And I went inside, locked the door, and just sat there thinking about it for a minute. Like, what the heck just happened? Oh, my God, what's going on? And so then I go over to my computer, and I just immediately started trying to eliminate possibilities for what I had just heard. So I started looking up all the native animals of Wisconsin and started listening to YouTube videos and clips of what their calls sound like and the sounds they make, and owls and foxes and big cats and all the different things. And as I was sitting there, I was trying to describe in Google what I had heard. And I was typing in whooping, and it inevitably led me to this clip. And I want to say it was from these recordings called the Sierra Sounds.
Yep. Ron Moorhead stuff from the 70s.
Yes. Yep. And there was a whoop in there. And then the guy like in the recording actually like did it back. I think it was him like doing it back at this thing up in the, wherever they, I'm not even sure where the Sierras are. Is that like Northern California or?
Yosemite National Park, I believe, is where that was recorded at.
Yosemite National Park. Okay. Well, anyway, that was exactly what I had heard. It was extremely close to, anyway, close enough where I was just like, okay, that's the closest thing that I have heard. So I started looking that up kind of incredulous, like, you know, like I've always been a fan of like monsters and Bigfoot. I loved Harry and the Hendersons when I was a kid and all that kind of stuff. And I'm into it, but I did not know that that was like a sound that was associated. And then the next thing you know, I saw a clip from that. There was some show called like Finding Bigfoot or Big Hunters. I can't remember what it was, but somebody was showing how to do a Bigfoot call. Right. And so they did that. It was some guy and he's out in the woods and he's showing how to do a Bigfoot call. And he was doing exactly what I had heard. So at that point I was like, you know what? Maybe there's like, we're new here. Maybe there's like some good old boys from like the area or something that are messing with me, you know, but since then I've come to learn very quickly. I came to learn. I talked to my neighbor the next day, like, nobody out here is going off onto somebody else's rural property and making loud noises in the middle of the night. That's how you get shot.
That's what I was just about to say. That's how you get shot by some good old boys. So the good aren't going to be the ones out there doing it.
That's right. We've all got shotguns for good reasons out here, because you do get black bear. You get stuff like it. Like if people you don't know are wandering through day or night, you're very wary. You know, you're like, what is this person doing here? So I don't think anybody, no human being would be wandering through on somebody else's property, like yelling as loud as they could in weird ways. You know,
I mean, the depths of those vocalizations too, as far as like Sasquatch goes, they're just way out of the range of humans to begin with. And if it was as loud as you were saying was, I think that's completely out of the range of humans anyways. Cause like, there's no way we could get as loud as these, Bigfoot calls tend to be.
No, and they were loud. I mean, they were so loud that's kind of, it was alarming. It was like, what the heck? And somebody had said to me when I was describing this to him, a good friend of mine, he was just like, you know, because he doesn't get into any of this stuff. And he's like, you know, I've heard hikers, you know, sometimes like, you know, hikers will like call back and forth to each other and stuff like that. I'm like, dude, nobody's hiking across my neighbor's property on a country road in the middle of the night in Wisconsin. Like, nobody's doing that. That's not a thing. This isn't hiking country. You know, this is farmland connected to big woods. And if you look at our area from like a top down in Google Maps, it's just woods all the way up to the National Forest. Like one woods connected to another woods connected to another woods, you know, with fields kind of you know, sprinkled all over the place. So,
I mean, the fact that you have a national forest linked into where your backyard's at, I mean, you've listened to Bizarre Encounters. We're always throwing the theory about the whole idea that some of these national parks might actually be somewhat of like cryptid reserves. So, I mean, like a lot of the Sasquatch stuff comes from national parks, it seems like really deep in the national parks. So, I mean, it doesn't seem off to have a Sasquatch activity right off from national park lands.
Right. And, some of this stuff that happened eventually led me to discover some of that 411 stuff and watching all those documentaries, all the small town monster stuff. And so, yeah, I'm into it now. I'm into it. But at the time, I didn't know what to make out of any of it. So, you know, I'm talking to she comes home, my wife, and I tell her what happened. And she just looks at me and she's like, "You are not allowed to move us into the country and then lose your damn mind."
I'm like, "Be telling us there's Sasquatch outside now." Like,
yeah. So I'm like, "Okay, I'm just telling you, this is what happened. I don't know what it was, but this is what happened." So that was that. But then a couple weeks later, she's coming home with groceries at about 11 o'clock at night. She had been working and she was coming home with groceries and she pulls into the driveway and I go out front and I'm helping grab bags and do all this stuff. And it's just the two of us standing out there. And suddenly the whoop started again. This is like 2 weeks later. And all of a sudden we hear that whooping again. And then we hear the call and respond to another one again. And she just looks at me and she's like, "Nope." And I'm like, "That's what I heard. That's what it was. That's for real." So we go in the house and now she knows it's real because she can hear it. And we very quietly go out onto the side porch and we're just sitting there and she's just sitting there relaxing, you know, smoking a cigarette. And I'm just standing there kind of trying to figure out which direction it's coming from. And it's definitely from the exact same location right across the street at my neighbor's house. He's got the light pole and then it's like, there's like a big tree and some brush. And then there's a path and that path leads all the way down into his field and then back up into some woods, right? And so it sounded like whatever was there, you could hear like I don't even know how to describe it, but you could basically hear like the crunching of the brush of something heavy, just kind of crunch, 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 like back and forth. And we could just hear it. And then we probably stood out there for like 40 minutes and whatever it was just moving.
Almost slowly. Like it was pacing back and forth, like kind of watching you guys through forth. The woods.
Yep, just through a little tiny bit of tree line. Because there's only like three trees there. And then it's just big and open behind there. So whatever it was right there. Just right outside the field of view, right outside the light. If you want to imagine like a funnel of light coming down from that light pole into the street. It's right behind that. And, you know, I had been doing some reading. And I kind of thought, you know, like I was kind of the opinion at the time that like, you know, maybe this was like an opportunity to like see one or like, you know, communicate somehow. It was really, really, really naive and silly of me. Like now that I think about it, but at the time I was feeling very brave. So I would like kind of wander down off the porch and slowly walk across my yard towards the street. And I'd never go further than my propane tank. So at least there was something big and metal in between me and whatever was making the noises over there. And I'd stand there and put my arms out like this, just kind of trying to say like, this is my place. I'm here with my family and nothing ever showed itself. And I was too chicken shit to actually like wander over there, you know, across the street and like, just see, I mean, it wasn't far. It was, you know, by the time I got to the edge of my yard, it was probably only 40 feet away. And I was just like, "You want to go over there? I don't think I should go over there." So I would just turn around and head back up to the porch. And finally, we said, "You know what? We're not hearing anything right now. Let's just go in the house." And that was the end of that experience. So that was number two. But to me, that was the one that validated that I wasn't a nut bar after the first one. You know what I mean? My wife heard it too. She experienced it. Now I've got somebody who knows that I'm not just full of crap, you know, who knows that I'm not losing my mind or that I'm not just like hearing an owl or something, you know?
Dude, it's one of those things too. When you walk up to them, it's like you hear mixed on the encounters. That some people refer to them more as like the ape, like an animal that's gonna try to attack you if you come near it. And then the other side, they have the whole like intelligence factor to them, where people have like they'll start like trading with these things. Sometimes they'll leave like little gifts and everything out in the woods. So it's like, who knows which side of the phenomenon is more likely? I mean, they could be just like people where some are this way, some are that way, but right. It's willing to try to figure out the in-between of it to see what kind of group that they are. And I'm sure you'll get into a little bit farther into the story if you have some type of communication with them or whatever. But if you haven't already, if you have like a typical area where they usually tend to be, I mean, I might even try to set up like a little gifting area just out of curiosity to see what would happen.
I thought about that. I was like, maybe I could like leave an apple with peanut butter or something like on my propane tank right there. Cause that would kind of like, it wouldn't have to come onto the property very far, but it could just, it would have to come through that light, mm-hmm. right, to get to it. And, you know, I was like online trying to look up like thermal like cameras and stuff like that. And you know, I was busting out my old audio recorders thinking that maybe I could like catch something on audio. But that was the last time we ever heard those whoops, was that second time. Now, we did have a third experience that was going on. and this was different. And so we were there with a few people and we were out on the back porch again. That's just kind of our little area because you don't really wander too far from the house in the dark at night. We've got coyotes everywhere. Sometimes there's black bear and stuff like that. So you kind of just stay around the house. But we had a wood knock, like tree knocking experience one night. And that was also like a call and send kind of a thing where we had like a very, it was almost like a lower toned, just whacking against a tree, just thong, thong, like just way out there. Probably, I don't know where it could, it was coming from the opposite direction though of my neighbor's house. So like there's the front, if you go towards the back to the left and then out, I guess directions are kind of pointless for me to, nobody knows what I'm talking about, but out past the woods, it was just this big, heavy sounding thunking. And then we'd hear this higher pitch, like coming from the opposite direction, kind of kitty corner where like the far whoop would have been. Right. So that was happening another night. And, by this time, when I was telling people like what was going on, especially my brothers, you know, they started getting really excited about it. They were like, are we going to go camping? Are we going to go find a Sasquatch? Like, what are we going to do? But, that was kind of the end of the Sasquatch portion of what's happened. And that those three experiences took place over the course of about 7 months.
We will be right back after this brief commercial break, so stay tuned. And we are back, so let's hop right in. Just to ask a couple questions before we dive into the next part of your story, while we're still on the Sasquatch part. Yep. Number one, first and foremost, are you aware at all of who lived in the house previously, or if it was just abandoned for a while, nobody lived in it and they're trying to sell it? Like, do you know any of the background of the house?
I actually know the last two owners because we met the couple who sold it to us, and they were just like a summer couple. They come there in the summer. And so it was usually, there's like nothing, like 10 feet around the house basically was mowed out. And then it was just their little summer cabin where they'd come and get away. And then they'd go like canoeing and camping and stuff like that. So this was an area that was not used at all by people.
See, this is where I was going to kind of lead into my theory here. So you mentioned the fact that there's a path right across that leads back behind your neighbor's fields and then leads into the woods, right?
Yep.
I'm kind of curious if you guys moving into this place were kind of like along their path that they go from where they actually live to going into that field to be able to steal some crops and also be able to get access into that other woods. And more so, basically, it's not that they were trying to be necessarily aggressive towards you guys. Maybe they're trying to keep you guys away from the area, not realizing you live there. But I feel like it was just an empty area that they used to pass through, and you guys just happened to set up shop there, and they were irritated about it at first, and then they kind of figured out a new route around it.
That's exactly where I've arrived at the whole thing. Is like, I'm thinking to myself, like, you know, they're probably coming down. Maybe this is like in the middle of like a migration area. You know, they go from, you know, given that this started in midsummer, and then the last thing that happened was like at the end of like winter kind of a thing. or like it was like midwinter. It's when we were hearing that knocking. So, you know, for all I know, we were like just like right in an area where they're used to just coming through. Cause my neighbor across the street where these sounds were coming from, he moved into his house 6 months before we did. And there was nobody living there for a long time. So this was basically like a completely empty, you know, 30 to 40 acre area of just grass and field and trees connected to woods on both sides.
I mean, if there was like pole barns or anything on either yours or your neighbor's property or like little greenhouses or anything like that, I mean, I've heard of people of Sasquatch even using that to like house in, stay in for cover. I heard one story actually that came from Carter Bouchard, if anybody remembers that episode a long time ago, that basically was about this group, this family of Sasquatch that was stealing fruit and veggies out of somebody's greenhouse. So, I mean, they could have been using any of the properties or any of the buildings on your property or your neighbor's property to possibly be able to use as cover, maybe even lived in for the time being. And then you guys just kind of threw into the middle of it.
Yeah, it's very possible because, you know, you go all around me and there's farms and there's crops and there's birds, you know, there's chickens, there's eggs, there's fruit trees, there's all kinds of things. So it's totally possible that it was just, we just happened to be in this path, but it hasn't happened since. So with those noises, so that makes me think, like you were saying, that they kind of just said, all right, this isn't safe anymore. We're going to take a different route. We're also about a quarter of a mile from the Wisconsin River, which is a huge river. So it's a major water source. And one thing that happens, at least with black bears, is they have a really, really large territory. And when younger male black bears start getting older, they kind of get pushed out and have to push into their own territory. And sometimes what they'll do is they'll move up from the river. They'll take the river up through the area, and then they'll push out into the farmland looking for food. And so you'll get the occasional black bear eating your berries or picking fruit or sometimes even getting into chicken coops, that kind of stuff.
I was going to mention, too, it's a good thing that you set up your chicken coop later on, because I've heard stories of Sasquatch lifting up people's chicken coops and starting to steal chickens out one by one.
Well, yeah. So, you know, we have had a lot of chickens. You know, I think mostly it's just a fox that gets them, because like, we've caught a fox a few times. Like, we've never actually caught it, but we've seen a fox. I mean, I just saw one earlier today, actually.
Even hawks, too. That's a huge predator. They'll just dip down, take a chicken and leave, and don't even know where the chicken went.
Oh, yeah. We get large owls, like really big owls out here too. So that's a thing. And they freak me out, man. I don't like the owls. So, you know, we had those three experiences, and I've told this story to a lot of my neighbors, and they just kind of looked at me like I'm nuts. I went online and went on to this site called BFRO. So that's the Bigfoot Field Research Organization.
Yep, BFRO.
Yep, BFRO. I don't know if BFRO. Anybody calls it BFRO, but that's what I've been calling it. And I looked up where I'm at there, and it was really interesting because the last time there was a Sasquatch sighting in this area, it was only about a mile and a half from my house.
Just another one to throw at you to check, by the way, for your area, Bigfoot Mapping Project, because that one combines BFRO and a couple other resources. So there might be even more stuff that pops up in your area if you check out that one. That's usually what I use for a lot of my stuff.
Oh, okay. Right on. Yeah. So, you know, all this kind of sent me down a big rabbit hole with Sasquatch. And I was already using the name Big Ape but it was more of like a King Kong reference. Because I'm really into monsters and movie monsters and all that kind of stuff. And so I was using the name Big Ape for like a hot sauce company that I was trying to get off the ground, because I make hot sauce and I grow peppers and do all this stuff. And that kind of fell to the wayside before this happened. And I was like, you know, I'm going to pick up that name again. I'm going to start using, I had the logo all ready to go. I had all this stuff. I'm just going to, you know, pivot this into something else, because I want to use my ideas, because I started having all these ideas for designs and stuff with cryptids. I started reading about all kinds of other things that I thought were really interesting. You know, some of it, you know, I'm still pretty skeptical on a lot of stuff that people talk about in the cryptid world and in the paranormal world. Like, it's just who I am as a person. I'm very analytical. I'm very skeptical. my motto is question everything. Don't believe anything you hear.
You and me both, man.
Yeah, it's question everything. So
being a healthy skeptic is always a good thing, especially with this research, though, because otherwise, if you're not like that, then every single knock is a wood knock. Every noise you hear is a Sasquatch out in the woods. Like, I firmly believe in the phenomenon. Don't get me wrong, but I come at it with a big piece of, or the big slice of skepticism for the sake of just actually pushing the research forward and not just assuming that everything is something. It's like going paranormal investigating and assume every single noise or creak you hear is a ghost. You know, you gotta put the rational together, and when the rational doesn't work anymore, then you know you have some weird phenomenon.
Right. Yeah. Like, we're, you know, a good example is with those wood knocks. You know, it'd be very easy, especially given what time of year it was, to assume that those were simply trees freezing, because that's a thing that can happen. You can have like sudden like weather changes, and you'll get tree trunks that just, they just kind of make loud popping noises, right? But what they don't do is they don't do like popping noises in groups of threes, and then another one happens like far off in the distance, and then it happens again in the first location, and then again in the second location, like back and forth. Like, trees don't call and send popping noises to each other. So, you know, that right there kind of showed me that, like, that was something different. That wasn't just normal forest noises. That was something, you know, it was a pattern. And that's what you kind of have to look for, I feel like. You know, so I want to kind of get into this. I want to get into this next part of the stuff that I've kind of had happen out here, which is kind of related to that green light.
I was hoping you're going to go this way. And there was another comment that you made about something, but I'll let it kind of transpire on its own, because I don't want to put thoughts in your head, but there's another connection here already, possibly.
Okay. I'm really interested to hear what that is. But so that green light, as far as I'm concerned, that was I don't know what that was. I don't think it was any kind of, like, I don't think it was just a coincidental, like, somebody said, well, maybe it's a meteor because it was green. And you know, we've seen videos of like green shooting stars or meteors coming through and stuff. And I know what those look like. I've actually seen one in person when I lived in southern Wisconsin previously, but this was not that.
Those, so even if it tails. Landed between those trees and it was close to you, you would have heard the impact.
Yeah. I mean, even if it was really far off, it wasn't, I mean, I've thought it through. It's like, maybe if the angle of it coming in through the atmosphere was such that it was lined up directly with my face so that there was no tail, it might have just looked like a bright green light appearing. But then it coalesced slowly down. It didn't burn out. It didn't leave a tail behind it. There was no anything like that. It was just a light, and then it went down. So as far as I'm concerned, you know, you could call that like a UAP. You could call that, you know, a UFO. It was something like that, right? I don't know what that is. And I'm not gonna speculate as to what the nature of it was exactly, other than it was really weird. But I was standing out in my yard in broad daylight. I'm trying to think how long after that this was. This is probably a year and a half later. And I was standing out in at the edge of my field. I was with my wife. She was talking to my neighbor. And as I'm standing there, this is one of those weird days. Like, I'm sure you guys get this in Michigan too, if people don't get it all over, where it's broad daylight out, but the moon is just like completely visible in the sky.
Dude, it's almost every day in Michigan.
Yeah. So the moon was like completely visible in the sky, and it's just right there by these pine trees to my right. But I'm kind of facing my wife. She's talking to my neighbor. And they're just having a chat, and I just kind of had this like weird feeling that I should like turn around and look up at the moon. And as I did that, there was this thing just kind of moving across the sky. And it went past the moon, and then it went behind these tall pine trees. And what it looked like was like, it looked like a white rod with like a big white ball on the front of it. If you can imagine that, like the whole thing was white, but it was like it was almost like the shape of like a microphone, but it was just white, and it was just moving, and there was no, you know, there was no wings on it. There was no lights on it. There was no, you know, there was no condensation behind it or anything like that. And I was like thinking to myself, this has got to be something I know. and I was waiting for the noise. And you know how the noise from an airplane or like a helicopter or any of those things like shows up like 10 seconds after it goes by and you're like, oh yeah, and it just takes a minute for the sound to get there. Well, that never happened. And then it was gone. And I turned around and looked to them and I was just like, did you guys see them? They're like, what are you talking about? I'm like, nothing. All right. Yeah. Just nothing. Cause I didn't want my neighbor to think I was a psycho. So, that was an experience that I've had out here. There was another night when I was hanging out with a friend and I was looking up at the stars and, it was almost like three of them just started rotating in a triangle. And I looked to him and then I looked back and then they were gone. And that was another experience that I had. So we've had a couple of these strange anomalous things and I tend to be the one that sees them. And so I don't talk about those very much because I just don't talk about those very much. It's one thing like Bigfoot, that one I had like, you know, I had somebody else who experienced it. But with these other ones, it seems to be just me who keeps on seeing this stuff. So I don't know if it's, I don't know. Is that just me? Is it something else? Am I just lucky? Is that like, I don't know what that is.
It might be just partially like an awareness that you're actually looking for it versus like people that aren't looking at it at all, of course, won't notice it at all. Yeah. There's a lot of people have talked about that these things show themselves to certain people for particular reasons. If you kind of get into the more, I guess, I don't want to say spiritual, but a little bit more woo-woo side of UFOs, of them basically using like somewhat of mind speak with people and like connecting and communicating with people versus just kind of being this ominous threat that just exists within our solar system or reality, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, I don't even know, but I do know that I don't like that stuff too much. Like I'm not actually particularly fond of the idea that I'm the only one seeing that stuff. So there was actually one thing that I did see, and my daughter was with me in the car, and this was rather recently, actually. This was like in the last 6 months, and we were traveling down the highway coming home from work, because she works at the same place I do, and we were heading home, and there was a spot on this particular highway where I had seen what looked like three lights with a circular light in the middle. And I didn't recognize what it could have been at first, but as I got closer to it, you could see the three lights moving and kind of almost rotating sideways like that. And you could see the triangle. And then I just drove past it because, you know, I'm on the highway and it's nighttime and it's like pitch black. So I had seen that once before on my own. And as I was coming home with her in the car on a different night, because we don't always work the same hours, we were heading down the street, down the highway. And in that same spot was those lights, same general area, not the exact same spot, because I had driven by there during the day. I drive by it like four times a week. And it's like, those lights usually aren't there. There's no radio towers there that it could have been. It wasn't a helicopter. Definitely wasn't a helicopter. It would have been a very low flying helicopter and it would have been very loud and obvious if it was a helicopter. But she saw the same thing I did. I said, look, you see those? She's like, yeah. I said, now watch those. And we sat there and watched them. And as we got closer and closer to them, she was just like, what the heck is that? And I'm like, exactly. And then as we were watching them in the rear view, suddenly we saw those lights and they went right across the street. They like crossed the highway and went off into the other direction. And then they were gone. And so that was another thing that happened. And so it's just been kind of like a few years of just like really weird anomalous experiences that I don't really know how to explain. But, you know, my conspiracy brain and now that I've gotten really into this stuff, I've got all these ideas, but I don't subscribe to any particular one over the others, you know?
Hold that thought. We'll be right back. And we are back. So let's hop right in. You haven't experienced any time loss or anything around the time you've seen any of these, have you?
No, I don't think so. I don't think I've experienced any kind of time loss or anything like that. But I have had a couple of unique experiences that were kind of weird here at the house, where it's just like, I'll give you an example of one of them, which was, I don't know if you've ever heard of sleep paralysis or if you're familiar with that kind
of
thing.
Dude, I've gotten sleep paralysis more times than I can count. The episode hasn't released yet, but I had Vicky Joy come on, and it's going to be the episode before this. And we both get into our sleep paralysis experiences. But for all the listeners that may not be aware or didn't listen to that episode, I've been a regular experiencer of sleep paralysis since I was a kid. So fully aware of sleep paralysis.
Okay. Well, so maybe you can like answer some stuff for me. Because so this was the only time I've ever experienced sleep paralysis, and I was having a dream. And in this dream I was sitting on, it was like, I can't remember what was happening in the dream before this, but the part I remember is that suddenly I was in like a Victorian style home, and there was a big bay window right in front of me, and the sun was coming in. It was like daylight, and I could see dust, you know, in the lights and all this stuff. And I was sitting on this Victorian style couch, this like big couch with arms, you know, ornate wooden arms and stuff. And the cushions weren't very comfortable. And I was just sitting on this couch, and then I decided to lay down on the couch. And I laid down, and out of nowhere from underneath this couch, this huge arm like comes up and just wraps itself around me. And I'm like, grab it. And it's very muscular and it's like huge. And I'm just holding it and I'm trying to like get it off of me. And I'm struggling with it, and I just pull as hard as I can, and this thing comes out from under the couch, and I could see its face, and I can still see its face. And it was a very strange face. It was like sunken dark eyes, and like kind of like a roundish face, and then like a squashed like lips and nose kind of a thing. And it was like almost like a round mouth, and it just like very deep sunken black eyes. And it's just looking at me. And then I woke up in my bed, and I realized very quickly that I couldn't move. Like I couldn't move at all. Like I couldn't will my shoulders to move. I couldn't will my hands or my arms or my fingers or my feet or my legs. Like I was just stuck on my side. And I'm lying there trying to figure out why I can't move. And I just had this like, I don't know if I was just like, you know, it was like adrenaline from the dream or whatever it was, but I had this like really ominous feeling, like, cause like the way I was facing, there's the doorway to my bedroom, just, you know, probably like 6 feet away. And that's always open. And, I was just had this really bad feeling that there was somebody like right there, and I couldn't see, and I couldn't move my head to look. And then I got this super cold feeling. And it started at my toes, and it was almost like a circle wrapped around my foot of cold, like a ring of cold. And it just moved slowly up my body, and it was moving up my legs and moving up my thigh and my waist. And I'm sitting here trying as hard as I can to move, and I'm kind of freaking out. And then all of a sudden, suddenly my leg just like kicks up, the blanket goes flying. And I can move again, and I sit up, and there's nobody there. There's nothing happening. And that was I'm like, all right, that was sleep paralysis. That was the scariest shit I've ever gone through. So
just out of curiosity, I'm going to kind of build into the theory that I'm going to kind of throw at you here, but I want to hear a couple more of these weird phenomenon stories that you're referring to, and I'll kind of lead back around to it. But when you're in sleep paralysis, of course, it's kind of hard to fully comprehend everything that's around you because you're going through an intense moment of fear. But just out of curiosity, did you notice anything like off in your room, like a double door, extra window, ceilings taller, just anything that wasn't normal as far as like how your room was shaped or
no
objects in your room?
Not really, but that's because like the way my room is set up, my bed's really close to the wall. So when I open my eyes, my face is only like 3 feet from the wall, and then there's like a gap so I can get out of bed and walk down towards I have a very small bedroom, you know, this is like a 160-year-old farmhouse. So, so we have the smallest room in the biggest bed. So it's funny. It's like, we're just kind of jam crammed in there. But so yeah, that basically I was just staring at like the wall when I woke up. I really couldn't see much else of anything. So,
well, I guess before I fully lead into my theory here, just do you have any more examples of some of these like weird experiences that you're kind of referring to?
Well, nothing that I would say like couldn't be explained away by something else. I've had a couple more experiences late at night seeing stuff in the sky that I couldn't really identify, but they could have been something else. So I don't really talk about those things. If there's any possibility in my mind of something just being easily explained away, I just kind of like leave it alone. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's kind of where I go with that thing. I did have one more experience that was kind of anomalous. And again, that was in while I was sleeping, and I woke up out of, I don't know what I was dreaming about, but I woke up and I just had a very, very, very ominous feeling. Like I woke up scared for some reason. I'm lying on my side and opposite direction as the last time. So I'm lying on my side and it felt like something reached under my blanket and poked me in the back. Just poked me in the back. And I was honestly, I mean, I hate to say it, but I was a little too freaked out to turn around and try to see what it was.
So, yeah. I was gonna say, you turn around and see something that you don't want to see.
Right. Exactly. So that was another thing that happened. And that happened like 3 or 4 times. And I actually was just sitting there in my head, just telling whatever it was to go away in my head. And then it did.
So you also mentioned the fact that you have giant owls where you're at and that you don't particularly like them. Do you have a reason why you don't like them?
Well, they're freaky. They like to eat my, they like to go after my livestock. So, you know, we have guinea fowl. Actually, you know what? I don't know if one of them has ever gotten my livestock, but, I had one. First off, when they fly over your head and you can't see them, but you know they're there because you can hear their wings flapping, and then you suddenly just get a super loud like hooting like that. That's terrifying. Like in the middle of the night, you know, it startles you, you know, and it's not like I'm scared of owls. Like, oh, I think I couldn't take one. It's more, you know, it's more like it just startles the crap out of you when you're in the dark, you know, putting birds away at the end of the night, that kind of thing. But we have lost a lot of guinea fowl and stuff to predators and things and chickens to predators. And there was one particular night where I woke up because I could hear these guineas. They like to roost in the tree above the chicken coops because they're only kind of like half domesticated, you know. And if you've never seen them before, they look like small turkeys. So they're real ugly, like a cross between a little vulture and a turkey. I hear them squawking, and all of a sudden I hear one of them jump out of the tree and it's flying down. You can hear it flapping and it lands right by my window and it's squawking the whole way down. And right as it hits the ground by my window, it just, it's cut off. And I spring up out of bed, run over, and I'm like, all right, dogs, we're going outside. So I let my dogs out. They go running like crazy. I saw a fox run by with that guinea. And then I turn around to see what was scaring them in the tree. And there's this giant white owl just sitting in the tree and just looking at me. And I'm just like, that's a big freaking owl. Like had to be like 2.5, maybe taller, 2.5 feet, maybe taller, just sitting in the tree. I've seen probably that same owl one other time. And it just kind of like was just sitting there on a fence post by the garden. And then it just kind of turned around and it's like, I don't know if you've ever seen an owl like swoop. But it's almost like they don't even have to flap. The thing just like turned around on the post and just went up and over the trees and into the woods and like it was just gone. So yeah, I don't like them. They just make me uneasy. You know, I know they're up to no good.
Because I'm sure you're fully aware of the whole thing with like owls as far as like UFO alien type stuff goes.
Yeah, I am. Yeah, I don't like to think about that too much. I don't think that's what's going on. I think we have legitimate owls because they're just all over the place out here, you know. But, you know, I'd be a liar if I said that those thoughts hadn't crossed my mind and freaked me out on a few nights. Like when I'm staying up too late by myself, I'm just like, damn it.
You said you didn't like them. So I didn't know if you had like weird dreams about them, anything like that. Cause then you get into the whole like screen memory concept that these things are kind of close in the face related to extraterrestrials. And yeah. When it comes to sleep paralysis, a couple of different people, I mean, there's of course like the paranormal kind of theory to it, that there's the whole shadow people connection to it. The old hag, that's more the paranormal side to it. And then there's like the other side of it that the UFO community talks about, that essentially that they believe that sleep paralysis is basically like a screen memory of being abducted, essentially, because realistically you think about the experience that somebody has when they get sleep paralysis, and usually it's they're laying flat on their back on a surface. They usually have things around them, feel like things are around them. And I mean, it's pretty much like the typical idea of like what would happen to you if you were having a UFO abduction experience. So depending on who you ask, I mean, it's either a paranormal concept or it could be more of like an extraterrestrial concept. But if you're having things where you have a lot of visuals of UFOs possibly that are only showing themselves to you, I mean, it could kind of go either way with it. That was kind of like the theory that I was leading into. And if you had something weird with the owls, or you're having dreams of these owls, then I would have kind of pushed a little bit more towards that side. But if it's just, again, ones in the area, it's one thing, but there's still the possibility of screen memories. Like, I don't know if you have one particular one that's like constantly watching you, but that's always something that's kind of weird that plays somewhat into the phenomenon. But
yeah, we've got a big white one that kind of hangs around out here and stuff. But, you know, in regards to dreams, now I'm not going to say which one of my kids has this, but we do have one kid who has talked about having a recurring owl figure show up in their dreams that terrifies them. And it's a big, huge orange owl that like is watching them, and it's like, they'll just be in their dream. And then suddenly this giant orange owl will be like up in the corner of like a room or something, like looking at them, talking to them, that kind of thing. And that's, I hate that. Like, I absolutely hate that. You know what I mean? But
is it one of your younger ones that has that experience or that those dreams?
None of mine are too young. Mine are all almost grown.
That's so. Not the one that works with you that also saw the UFO, was it? Okay. I was just curious.
Nope. They're all great. They're all great. I've got all girls. They're all great. They're getting real big and getting ready to move out and do stuff like that on their own, finding jobs. Last two are going to get their license soon. So, you know, it's an interesting time around here. But, you know, a lot of these experiences got me thinking back to like my childhood and all those kinds of things. And just like when I was a kid, I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, I had a super, super overactive imagination, where things like now in my, like in my mind, like the memories I have of a kid obviously had to be dreams and things like that, but they just seem like perfectly real. I'm sure everybody's got something like that. You know what I mean? But I do have one, you know, I do have one memory in particular of, I used to wake up and it would feel like I was being dropped on the bed, like just hitting the bed. And it would be like, I slept on the lower bunk of a bunk bed when I was real little with my younger brother right above me. And, there was a few different times where I remember just waking up and it was just like, bam, just hit the pillow. You know, and like your head goes back and you just have that sensation in your stomach, like you just fell. And I think there is like some kind of like, you know, biological explanation for that, that I read about somewhere. I can't remember what it's called at all.
Some type of like vertigo or something like that, where your body's trying to like rebalance itself out maybe.
Yeah. And then I've heard people, you know, with some much more esoteric, you know, theories about it. Like maybe you are astral projecting and then that's you like falling back into your body kind of a thing, or whatever it is. But I do have one of those experiences where I hit the bed, I opened my eyes, and I saw right above my face what was the classic, almost like an illustration. It was so like, it was just so generic of a gray alien face. And then it just like went backwards really quickly and faded. Like it just like went transparent, faded out. Like, but right above me is like the top of the top or the bottom of the top bunk. You know what I mean? And so that was one experience that I had as a kid that has actually stuck with me, that I've thought about many times.
We will be right back after this brief commercial break, so stay tuned. And we are back, so let's hop right in. I mean, that's one of those things too that like, I've heard of a few different stories with people having somewhat close experiences like that and linking them to possible like UFO experiences. And of course that stuff's a lot of the time like generational, because it seems to be something with like the genetics, for example. So I don't know, your one daughter that was having the owl dreams, I don't know what kind of place she falls in as far as like being the oldest or the youngest or whatever. But if there's a possibility of phenomenon possibly happening with you as a kid, and you also add in the idea behind screen memory, because realistically they don't want people to remember most of the stuff that happens to them. You know, there might be a possibility of something generational if you do get into that side. I know you dig into like Sasquatch, of course. The UFO stuff is kind of back and forth. Some people think it sounds more realistic than any of this stuff, and a lot of other people feel like it's completely woo-woo. But a lot of like the researchers I've talked to, especially like Les Velez, for example, thinks a lot more people have UFO experiences than they realize, because he's had multiple people that have come into his clinic that have basically said that they've seen him on board before, and he doesn't remember any of this stuff. And then when he started doing regressions, then he started picking up pieces and actually like realizing that he probably had a lot more experiences than he realized. So I've kind of held that somewhat universal in the fact that I think there's a good portion of people that have had experiences and they're just not aware of them at all, because the screen memory takes better for those people than it does for some others.
Yeah, it's hard to say. You know, I grew up, I'm the oldest of 11 kids too. So like, you know, and I was just out of the house so much as a teenager. So I think there wasn't a whole lot of like, you know, I never thought about any of that stuff. You know, I was too busy running around with my friends, being an idiot and stuff. It was just when I was really little, I just, you know, it was like everything was alive. Everything was moving. Everything was scary. Everything at night, you know, I was always sure there was something in the closet. I was always sure there was something under the bed. I was always sure there was something outside the window. I'm sure it was nerve wracking for my parents, you know, but that stuff happened. So, you know, like to me, it was real, even though now it seems absolutely ridiculous. But, you know, I think a lot of it was just a big overactive imagination, that kind of thing. You know, at least I'd like to think that. And I'm pretty sure that's the case.
I was going to say it could go two ways, because I mean, one, if it's traumatic to you, of course, you're going to try to push it towards like, oh, it was a dream, and you're not going to want to remember all the details of it. I mean, I had experiences from the time that I was a kid with like astral projection and stuff. And of course, the farther that stuff gets away from you, the farther you try to rationalize it like it was something that never happened in the first place. But I mean, a lot of those first memories are what really sticks in your brain. And a lot of us remember more of, again, like a dream, or like, oh, that didn't really happen. I was a kid with an active imagination. But considering that that was a time when your head wasn't full of information yet, and that was something that stuck, maybe it was a lot more to the T than you ever realized it was.
Yeah, astral projection is another interesting thing that I've read a lot about, and it's an interesting concept. I had some, you know, a lot of this stuff can just be chalked up to dreaming, though, but it's like, it's hard to draw a line between the things that people report doing when they're astral projecting, or what they encounter when they're astral projecting, and just what's just a dream, right? Like, I had a dream when I was really young that stuck with me my whole life, because it was so real that I actually thought I could still, I went out in my backyard and I was able to push off the air and just kind of like float and push off of it. And it was almost like I had figured out how to move through the air without actually having to walk or step on anything. And I could just do that. And my sister was there and a friend was there, and we were all doing this in the backyard. And I remember the next day I actually went out there and was trying to do it again, and I couldn't. And I was just like, what was that? Like, why doesn't this work? Like, I thought it was real.
I mean, a lot of people believe that the dreams might actually just be the astral plane, and that, I mean, going by that logic, astral projection and dreaming is theoretically the same thing. The only difference is one, you're aware and you're projecting yourself to somewhere that you're fully aware of. And the other one, you're just going about that astral reality, assuming that it's a dream, and you're not, you know, astral traveling because you're not doing it with intention behind it, you know?
Right. Yep. Absolutely. And, you know, I'm a lot more prone nowadays. I mean, the last 4 years have been really, really interesting for me, because I've kind of run the gamut of having a bunch of weird experiences, trying to tell a bunch of people, also being isolated and becoming kind of a hermit, and now trying to kind of like get back into socializing with people more often and hanging out and doing things.
It just becomes easier the longer you're a hermit, because it's like you don't want to interact with people. I mean,
no, exactly. And I like lost all trust for the government, and, you know, I lost all trust for like authoritative, like, you know, entities, like, you know, any kind of three-letter ABC department, that kind of thing. And, you know, it has all the hallmarks of just being a crazy hermit in the woods. And so I'm just like, no, it's not. I swear to God, I got my wits about me. And so, I really appreciate the opportunity to come on here and say this stuff out loud so that, it's kind of liberating because I don't get to talk about it very often.
Well, I appreciate you picking my show to come on and be able to share your experiences. And hopefully I dived into them a little bit with you. Hopefully maybe it connected some dots for you possibly. But again, man, you're not crazy. It's just a matter of finding people that actually take these experiences into consideration and actually want to do some real research with it. And, it takes a lot to share your story for the first time. So, I mean, props to you, man, for doing it. And I appreciate you for doing it.
Yeah, not a problem at all. I'm really happy to be here. And one thing that's really interesting is, since I've gotten more comfortable just sharing the Sasquatch stories with people, I've been surprised a few times with people who just randomly just came out and it turned out that they'd had something similar happen to them. Like a friend of my mother's had just, it turns out that he just speaks at like the West Virginia Bigfoot conference now. And he goes there, he lives by there. And so we were just like, oh my gosh. Like he'd had an experience in the woods. And this is a very, really normal, like conservative kind of guy, not the kind of person who just makes stuff up or anything like that. But he had this experience. And now he's of the opinion that Sasquatch are more of like our friendly, like forest brothers who are here for our like, spiritual enrichment and all that kind of stuff. And I can see where that's going. I just got done, or I'm actually almost done reading a book called The Phenomenal Sasquatch, which has been a really good read, but that's very much in the opposite direction where it's a very grounded, argument for it being a real animal and exactly all the reasons why it could be a real animal. And it's a great book. But I've had just people at parties, just like, at get togethers, just come out and tell me that about an experience they had when they were a kid. Like I looked out my window and there was something about 8 feet tall with red fur, and it turned back and it looked at me, and I'm like, wow. So, I haven't had an experience where I saw one, but I felt its presence, and it happened multiple times. And it was, I won't say it's as good as seeing, but it was the next best thing. It was pretty amazing. And it's changed the way I view the world. And it's changed the way I think about what's possible and what's not possible. At this point, I think just about anything's possible.
So. Man, that's kind of where I've been at. And especially like talking to all the different people with that experiences, it's one of those things that it's like nobody wants to talk about it because it's just a social norm that you don't talk about having bizarre experiences. But more often than not, when you go into a room and you actually start talking to people and when you're actually open about your experiences and the things you research, people, one, realize you're not crazy because there's actually evidence behind it. You're not just sitting here saying that there's something that exists out in the woods without any reason why you believe that it exists out in the woods. But again, when you start talking about these experiences with people, more often than not, you'll realize that almost everybody has at least like one weird experience that they can't quite describe. More often than not, it's paranormal. But when you start digging into other stuff, I mean, it seems like everybody's had either a paranormal experience, a Sasquatch / cryptid experience, or some type of extraterrestrial UFO experience. It's just not talked about because people don't want to be looked at like they're crazy, even though everybody has one.
Yeah. And to be honest, like they all kind of feel related to me, all of it feels related. I mean, just with that very first experience, the fact that I saw that green light in the sky at the same time that I was hearing these classic Bigfoot sounds right across the street. You can hear that thunder and lightning in the, in the background here. Yeah, we had a big storm. It's been storming for 2 days here. So I'm glad the power didn't go out on us. But anyway, I just feel like all that stuff's got to be related somehow, because the idea that I just it was a total coincidence that was happening at the same time that other thing was happening, at the same time that I heard that screaming in my backyard. And those were three different, separate, totally normal, explainable things that just happened to create that experience. That doesn't compute in my brain. It's something else. You know what I mean? It was an experience, a singular experience, not three disparate things that just so happened to occur at the same time.
And I mean, it seems like there's areas where a lot of this high strangeness stuff seems to happen, all kind of falling on top of itself. And more often than not, they're somewhat near national parks and national forest, and you're backed up against one. So, I mean, you're kind of in the right time and place for all of this high strangeness to happen, and especially on some isolated land with a cabin. So,
yeah. And you know, it's not like we're not extraordinarily isolated, and we're not right backed up to a national forest, but you could very easily walk amongst the trees and in the woods out of the sight of human beings for, you know, a long time, and never have to cross a road, never have to cross a river, never have to do any of that and end up in the national forest. You know, it's north of us, but you can just get there. I've looked at it on the map. I'm just like, oh yeah, you could travel from here to the Yukon and never, you know, and just keep going through woods. I mean, you'd have to go around Lake Superior and go through the UP, but, you know.
I mean, if you're thinking about UFOs, you're thinking about Sasquatch too. I mean, they seem like big areas of land to go from this place to like a person that's like walking. But if you're in a UFO, you're a Sasquatch that has that distance between steps and stuff. Like, it's a lot shorter of a distance than we even realize. I mean,
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, that's the weird stuff that's going on around here. I'll be sure to let you know if anything else weird happens in the future, you know.
That's what I was hoping for. You got to keep me updated, man. If anything else weird happens, I want to know about it. And then I can throw some more theories and ideas at you, man.
Yeah. I mean, I almost feel like if I start looking for it too hard, it's not going to show up. So
you gotta ignore the phenomenon until it's trying to smack you in the face.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. So yeah, in the meantime, I'm just going to do my thing and, have a lot of fun with these paranormal and encrypted designs and stuff, and make some shirts, try to meet some people, try to do some stuff. You know, I hear there's a lot of good conferences and conventions and things like that to take part in. And I've only heard of a few. Some of them have been straight through your channel or your show. So maybe I'll see you guys out there at one of them in the future, and that'd be a lot of fun.
Hey man, Small Town Monster Fest is coming up June 29th. A lot of the ones I do are more on the East Coast. That one's in Ohio. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's somewhat of a hike, but maybe I'll luck out and maybe you'll end up popping up at Small Town Monster Fest. There's always next year, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, that's awesome. Yeah, I guess that's all I got for you tonight, man, as far as experiences go. But thanks again for having me on.
Of course, man. You're always welcome on. You're always welcome to come on, share your experiences. I know you're a little bit nervous going into the show, considering you said it was your first time, but I just want to throw it out there, man, that you did great. You got all the story out, drew the listeners in and everything. So,
hold that thought. We'll be right back.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And we are back, so let's hop right in. But before we start wrapping up the show, man, I always like to do words of wisdom. So if there's any words of wisdom you could bestow on the listeners, be it serious, be it funny, whatever you're kind of feeling, man, what would those words of wisdom be?
Well, you know, I guess I may have said this earlier, but I'll say it again if I did. But I would say that the thing that I've been kind of living by lately is question everything. Don't take anything at face value, especially when you're being told it. When people are adamant and just certain that the world is one way, it's a really good idea to look in the opposite direction and explore what could be there, because you never know what you're going to find. You never know what you're going to experience, and things are going to surprise you at every turn.
Ain't that the truth, man? Seems like you're on the right show for that message too, considering it's inquiries of our reality is exactly what that is. Question your reality, my friends.
Yeah. Awesome.
And you're talking about your designs. So of course, let everybody know where they can come and check out your new merch shop at. And also, if you wanted to share your Instagram so that people can check out your AI art, whatever you wanted to happen to share, or if people want to contact you to possibly share some more experiences, be it if they're maybe even in the area and they have experienced something similar, where can people find your merch at, and where can people find you at?
Well, I'm on Instagram and I'm on X.com, no longer Twitter. I'm Shapeshifter on both of those, and that's Shape, and then Shifter is spelled S-H-I-P-H-T-R, I know it's a little strange, but that's how I spelled it. So Shapeshifter. And I think you said you'd put the links in the show notes and stuff like that. But my shop is called bigape.shop. It's kind of a double entendre. I used to really be into like King Kong and movie monsters. And now after these recent experiences, it's got a different meaning to me. And that's where you can find my latest t-shirt designs. I do some stickers. I do stuff like that. It's just a lot of fun, and that's what's been taking up my spare time. So come check it out.
Again, I appreciate you making the time to come on the show today, man. I appreciate you sharing your experiences, and hopefully the listeners will go and check out your merch store, because I'm sure there's some fantastic stuff. And actually, I'm about to go and check it out right after we get off. So,
right on.
If you guys enjoyed this episode, don't forget to leave a review or rating for the show on iTunes or Spotify, preferably 5 stars only, but you guys, of course, can be honest. And if you guys leave a 5-star review, I will read on the show, of course, and give you guys a big shout out. And anything you guys do pushes up the show in the algorithms, makes it so more people are able to see the show. And another great way to help out the show is to share the show through word of mouth, be it if it's just one episode or the show as a whole. Anything you guys do, I greatly appreciate. And if anybody wants to get a hold of me for any reason whatsoever, be it that you want to share some fan art, you want to have a conversation, you want to be a guest on the show, you want to have me as a guest on your show, you want to sponsor the show, or anything else whatsoever, you guys can get a hold of me through email, which is increaseofourrealitypodcast.outlook.com, or through social media, Instagram or Facebook. Instagram is the one that I'm the most active on, of course. Or you guys go to the link tree, and there is a specific contact me submission form. And the other one is for reporting encounters. So again, guys, don't forget to report those encounters to OMM Encounter Reports at Outlook.com. And every single thing that I mention is all available in the link tree, which is available down in the show description. And with that, hope you guys enjoyed the conversation, and I'll catch you on the next one. Have a good night, everybody.